Of course, the first thing I should do when I come here after Pastor John go to put this down. Let us pray, please, first. Let us ask God for blessing. Our Father, we thank you. Thank you that we are here, that we can approach your throne because of the blood of Jesus Christ that opened the door. Thank you for your word. We believe that this is your word. You give it to your servant. And we ask that the same Spirit who inspired this word comes and open our minds, enlighten our minds, sanctifies our wills to obey your word, the word that, the only word that can renew our life and recreate our life. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody knows or remembers the old Sunday school song, I Cannot Come? Do you know this song? You sang it one day? How many? Anyone remembers that he said, I bought a wife and I married a cat? You did it? Yeah, all of us did a lot of mistakes, of course, and we still do a lot of mistakes. Thanks God for his mercy. Anyway, who doesn't love parties and meals and celebrations? We all feel happy when we are invited to a big feast, big dinner, wedding feast, graduation feasts, barbecue, whatever. We love to be together, right? It is not only a matter of food, but the company, the fellowship that we have. Jesus too. Jesus loved to be with the people. Jesus loved to share the people their life because he loved the people. He accepted their invitations to have meals with them, even the invitations of those who hated him and wanted to kill him. He accepted the invitations and he had their meals and banquets and feasts, but to invite them to his feast, to his banquet, the kingdom banquet. At this occasion that we read in Luke chapter 14, Jesus was invited to have a dinner at a Pharisee's house. The day was a Sabbath, and I am wondering how this Pharisee did or had or prepared a very big banquet on the Sabbath, because this means a lot of preparations, baking, cooking, and a lot of things. I don't know. At the same time that they wanted to see if Jesus breaks the Sabbath or not. But anyway, you know that the Pharisees permitted themselves to do things, but they didn't permit the other people to do the same things. Of sure, that Pharisee did not mean to honor Jesus or show him respect, but he and all the other Pharisees wanted to entrap him. This why that Pharisees did the dinner on the Sabbath at the first. And as we read in verse 1, they watched him closely. Who invites a guest to have a dinner and sit there next to him, watching him closely? Of course, they didn't watch him to make sure that he was enjoying the food or to that they may service him the desert. They always watched him. They might take him by trickery and put him to death. And add to this the man with a dropsy that attended the dinner. That man wasn't invited to have a dinner like the other guests, like Jesus or his disciples, or all the other Pharisees, or the rulers, or lawyers, and the other guests. Because they don't deal with these people. They don't like these people. They felt, the Pharisees felt all the time that these people or those people are unclean and unworthy to be at the same place together. But they just brought this poor man to be a trap to Jesus because they believed that healing breaks the law. Jesus asked them twice, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? In Luke chapter 6 verse 7, the scribes and Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find a reason to accuse him. This is the reason of the dinner. So Jesus wasn't in a welcoming atmosphere, but rather he was in a conspiratorial, right? This is the word, atmosphere. Surrounded by a group of the arrogant people who thought that they already booked the first seats in the kingdom of God because they felt that they had a big righteousness or the enough righteousness that may equip them or qualify them to attend the kingdom of God. Anyway, Jesus healed the man and let him go, and this approves what we just said. He wasn't invited to have the dinner with them. Jesus healed them and let him go. And looked to the guests who chose the places of honor, in verse 7, around the table, and rebuked the guests who chose the first places. And after he rebuked the guests, he rebuked the host himself, the man who made the dinner, the man who invited Jesus and the others to have such dinner. Because the guests sought to bring honor to themselves upon their arrival at the meal by taking the first seats, this was happening all the time because to have the first seats, this means that you are honored or you are more important than the other. You are VIP. And the host, when the Pharisees make or prepare or do this dinner or this feast, they just invite the rich men, the neighbors, the friends, those who can invite them in turn. So it's kind of mutuality. And Jesus rebuked the host for that because he should invite the poor men or the poor persons to have the dinner. Of course, a tension happened. You know, they made a trap. They were trying to entrap Jesus with a mistake by breaking the Sabbath, but here Jesus foiled the trap and tensioned the celebration or tensioned the dinner because he rebuked the guests and he rebuked as well the host because of their pride. With the mention and at this moment, one of the guests shouted or cried with a loud voice saying, "Blessed is everyone who will eat or who will shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." I don't know why this man said this shout or this statement, but I think he tried to, as we say, to lighten the atmosphere, or to absorb the shock, or to ease, to say to Jesus, take it easy, don't embarrass these important persons, don't embarrass this generous host. And he wanted to lead the mind of Jesus to something else. Blessed everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Of course, this man meant what we said in Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined, and he will swallow up on the mountain the covering that is cast over the people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up the dead forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach and of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. This is the prophecy that the Pharisees and the Jewish waited for its fulfillment in the age of the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will prepare a big banquet, a big feast, a big dinner for all, for his people, for Israel, and the Pharisees booked or reserved the important seats in this kingdom. Anyway, there was one thing greatly wrong with this man's statement. He spoke from the advantage position or advantage point of one who would be sitting at the table. When he said, blessed everyone who will have bread in the kingdom, of course he meant himself, and he meant the other Pharisees. He wanted to say, blessed we are, because we who will have the bread of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom's banquet. Jesus in his ministry rebuked the Pharisees for shutting the kingdom of heaven in people's face, for allowing those who would enter, for not going in, and not allowing those who would enter to go in Matthew 23. He rebuked the lawyers for taking away the key or the keys of knowledge, and thus hindering those who were entering the kingdom in Luke 11. In the eyes of the religious establishment, they had reserved seats at the Lord's table, while the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the tax collector, the sinners, the harlots, the Gentiles, the Samaritans, all of these categories of people were excluded. They are unclean, they aren't worthy to be in this place, to sit with the Messiah in his kingdom or around his kingdom banquet. And from this point, Jesus told them about the kingdom's banquet, the kingdom's dinner, the kingdom's feast. I will try to share with some few points. Let us look at the precious banquet first. When Jesus told them about the kingdom's banquet, of course he didn't mean a banquet like the one these Pharisees invited Jesus to eat or to have it. He didn't mean the banquet or the feast or the dinner or the meal which was in the Jewish minds or in the Pharisees' explanations to eat and to drink. But he meant another kind, a different kind of banquet. He meant the heavenly banquet. He meant to be with God and to be a son of God for eternal, for the whole eternity. Jesus meant to be redeemed and to be saved from the sin and become a partner of the heavenly or the divine nature of God, the heavenly banquet. This will become clear during the sermon, but let us remember how great the banquet of the kingdom. In verse 15, after this man shouted with this statement, blessed is he who shall eat bread, and so on, it may be not accepted that respectful and important guests at the middle of a celebration shout with this thing. But I mentioned that maybe he wanted to lighten the atmosphere, that because of the tension that Jesus made because his rebuke of the guests and the host. We can see why the expectations of the eschatological banquet would have come to mind for this man, and thus why he would speak of the future blessing. Who shall eat? So he was waiting for something that will happen in the future, something futurist. He and the other Pharisees and the whole Jewish nation didn't understand that it already happened when Jesus came and Jesus started his ministry and he was inviting the whole people for the kingdom of God, that the banquet already prepared, that the banquet already started with the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They didn't believe that it is now the time of the banquet. It's something that will happen in the future. But Jesus wanted to change their minds and to teach them the real truth about the kingdom's creed. It is a great banquet because God himself who prepares this banquet. At the end of the parable that Jesus said, my banquet. It is God's banquet. It doesn't belong to anyone or to any person. It doesn't belong to the Pharisees. It is not prepared by the Pharisees or by the self-righteousness of the people who tried to satisfy God by the works or deeds or obeying the law or the Sabbath or these things they tried to do. It is God's banquet. So when God prepares a banquet, he prepares his own banquet his way, not like the people think that we can reach or approach the banquet of God by our righteousness. No, it is God's banquet. It is the kingdom's banquet. In the English Standard Version, we read these words. A great banquet refers to the arrival of the kingdom in the ministry of Jesus, with its initial present taste of the joyful fellowship with God that will be fully realized in the coming age. It started with Jesus, and we are waiting for the fulfillment, the final fulfillment, when Jesus comes again from heaven. In verses 16 and 17, he said, a certain man gave a great supper, and invited many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. We are told here about this supper. It was no small affair. It would have taken a lot of planning and effort. When Jesus says a great supper or a great banquet, he means that it is something distinguished, it's something unique, something important. It doesn't like what you do or what you prepare, because it is the kingdom banquet. It would have taken a lot of planning and effort and preparations. It would have been a great honor to have attended this supper. God has planned the eschatological banquet well in advance from the eternity. God elected us in Jesus Christ. And in the fulfillment of the age or the time, Jesus incarnated to achieve this redemption, to be sons of God, to adopt us. And the Holy Spirit stamp our hearts when we accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and become his sons and his daughters. We are told that all things are ready now in verse 17. This refers to the completeness of the preparation for the supper, which means that there can be no delay in attendance. Everything is ready. Even so, God will prepare his banquet such that nothing he has promised will be lacking. Everything is prepared and very well prepared. Jesus prepared this banquet. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread who came down from heaven to give life for those who believe. We are told that all things are ready. And from that time, when Jesus started his ministry, crucified, resurrected from death, he said, and the church is still saying and proclaiming that the kingdom banquet is ready and well prepared. You just accept the invitation and come to the banquet. Let me just read a few verses from Isaiah 55. I will just read these verses. Ho, with loud voice, because he wanted to take the attentions of the people and wake them up. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without a price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul will live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. This is the kingdom banquet. This is Jesus' banquet. And now we come to the second point, the priceless invitations, the amazing invitations. This man invited many, and then at a later time sent a servant to announce that it was ready. I will say the two points together, the point of the priceless invitation and the penny excuses or flimsy or stupid excuses of those who were invited, but they refused to accept the invitation of the host. The custom in Jesus' day was to send out two invitations. The first invitation said, I am having a party or a dinner, or I am having my son's wedding. As Matthew 22 said, a king made this dinner for his son's wedding, and you are invited. This is the first invitation. All the guests sent back their RSVPs, saying it is our honor, it is our privilege to come. We should come and rejoice with you. We accept the invitation. When the preparations were ready, the host sent again the servants to bring the second invitations to those who were already invited. Come, everything is ready now. Is it clear? Is it understandable? This was the custom of the Jesus day. This means that everyone who had been invited knew that, or knew in advance, that the great supper was coming. They should have been ready to this hour. They should clothe very well, and they should sit at their houses or their homes ready, waiting for the servants when they go to them with the second invitation, saying that everything is ready, you just come. But as something shocking happened with these, or from these invited, God has announced his great banquet well in advance. And it is up to all those invited to be prepared when the time comes. The Bible tells us that Jesus, that God the Father, predestined us for salvation and for life, even before the foundation of this world. Before he created us, he prepared for us the eternal life by Jesus Christ. We can now understand why it was so shocking when those who were invited refused to come, but instead made excuses, penny, flimsy excuses, for their failure to attend. This means that they meant, in one word, in one mind, to embarrass the host. They weren't too busy to attend the banquet, right? Right? They knew that there is a banquet, and they were honored to be invited to attend this banquet. At the first of the parable, Jesus said that this man invited many, and he gives us three excuses. He didn't mean that three persons refused the invitation, but these maybe represent the main things that take us away of the fellowship of God, that take us away of enjoying the fellowship of the banquet of the kingdom. And then we now come to the song, "I Cannot Come." The first man said, you remember what was his excuse? I have bought a land or piece of land. Excuse me, I can't come. It is like you have your son's wedding and you invited your best friend or the very close friend to you to attend your son's wedding. And he said, he accepted the invitation and he said, "Oh, it's my wedding. It's my son's wedding. I should come. Don't worry. I will be there and tell me if I can help." Right? This is what happened. And before the wedding, few minutes before the wedding, you receive a message on your mobile from him saying, "I'm sorry. I can't come. I have bought a property and I will go to check it out." How do you feel if this happened? How do you feel? You feel insulted. You feel that this man wanted or wants to insult, to embarrass you. And the other friend sent you few minutes before the wedding a message saying, "I'm sorry, I'm too busy, I can't come." Why? Because I have bought a car and I am going to try it or to check it out. It is disappointing, right? It is upset. You feel upset. And the third one sends you a message few minutes before the wedding saying, "I'm sorry. I remember that I married a wife. He married suddenly, in one moment, without thinking." You know, of course we can say that the one who bought the land can check his piece of land anytime, tomorrow. Of course he will not go to check it or see it during the night. Right? And who buys a piece of land or property or car or whatever without seeing it before he purchases? But the main point that they didn't want to go. They haven't real excuses. They have penny, stupid excuses. And the third one who said that he married a wife, it means a lot of things. Maybe he mentioned or he referring the commandment in Deuteronomy that anyone who marry, he not permit to attend the military or the army when there is a war. But this is not a military. We aren't going to fight or war. You are invited to be happy, to have joy, to celebrate with us. You see? Or maybe he said that, I'm sorry, when I invited your invitation, I had my decision. I was a single man and I had my decision to say, okay, but I am now married and the decision is not mine. I am not the decision maker now. I can't come. You know that there is interpretation for the word I can't come here, that he can't because it is not his decision. He can't make the decision. He can't fulfill his commitments. The possessions, the business, the relationships, these are the main things that because of these things we make such excuses to not serve God, to not join, to not enjoy the fellowship with our God. So what happened? What did the host said after that? He sent his servant for everywhere to bring everyone to join his dinner and to join and enjoy his banquet. After the servant reported these things to the master, He became angry and said, go out quickly into the streets, the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Of course, there is a repetition here of verse 13. You remember in verse 13 when he rebuked the host, when you have a dinner or a feast, don't invite the rich persons or the neighbors, the friends who can invite you in return, but invite these kinds of people, these kinds of people. When Jesus confronted them with their selfishness and their pride, the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. This Pharisee who invited Jesus, he was like most of Pharisees and religious elite among the Jewish, viewed such people as having been judged by God. They are poor, they are blind, they are lamed because they are sinners and they should pay for their sins. We can't invite them. If we invite them, this means that we oppose the judgment of God they deserve. This is the way they thought and this is the way they viewed these people. These people are not, they are unclean. Maybe it is a matter of ritual purity. We can't touch them, we can't have food with them. This is what they thought. These people, the Pharisees, thought that when the kingdom of comes, when the Messiah prepare his banquet and invite the people, those persons are not invited to this banquet. We are invited because we deserve. We are worthy. And this comes us or takes us back to the shout of that guest. Blessed is who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. In any case, Jesus is clearly making a point in this parable in response to the attitudes of the Jewish leaders in his day. And he's clearly confronting the fact that although they had been refusing God's invitation, though they despised it as unclean, were not doing so. And they weren't making excuses either. Go, invite them and compel them to come to my feast. Why? You know that to compel them, it's not that force them to come, not to put your knife on their necks and threaten them to come, because some persons may explain it this way, but to compel them, I can understand it easily because I lived in these traditions or these customs in the Middle East. When we invite people to have a meal or dinner with us, we compel him. Compel him means to compel him or to practice friendly pressure or pressure of hostility to compel him. We say to him, please come and have dinner with us. And if he says, no, thank you, as you say, no, thank you, yes, please. And that's it. No, we don't stop there. Why don't you want to come? Don't you like to be with us? Don't you like to, don't you feel happy when you have food with us? Please come. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. I should do this and that. My wife is very good at cooking. The cooks a delicious food. Oh, thank you. I am sorry, I can't. Do you mean that my wife isn't God? This is the kind of compelling or forcing people. Of course, here we in Melbourne, we stop doing these things. We don't do it. Don't worry. Yeah. To compel them, because these people, they already feel unworthy, right? They already feel unclean. They feel that they don't deserve to join such dinners. They lived all their lives ignored, excluded, because of the Pharisees and because of the behavior of the Pharisees and because of the explanations of the Pharisees of the law of God. And remember that they didn't receive the first invitation. You remember? Okay? So no, we can't come because we didn't receive the first invitations. No, come. The master himself, the host, the king himself says, come and have the dinner. But we are not in ready clothes. We are beggars. We are poor. We aren't, come as you are. Come. Don't change anything. He wants you as you are in your, this case, in your situation. Just come. I'm sorry, I am a Samaritan. Do you remember? The host is Jewish and I am a Samaritan. I can't come. No, come. I am Gentile. I am Greek. Because when the words here used, the highways, the hedges, means two things. The routes that connect the towns together out of the city. So he says, go and bring all the travelers you meet, all the travelers you'll find, all of them. But between the towns, the travelers are Jewish, Samaritans, Gentiles, and all the kinds of people. Invited them all to come. And this is the precious invitation that God offers and provide us and provide all the people with it today and every day until he comes again. And the hedges refers to the fences, the the roots or ways or fences in between the fields or the farms of the people, where you find the beggars and the poor and the persons sitting or sleeping there, homeless people. Bring them, invite them to have the dinner, because it is the kingdom banquet. I want to finish. You want me to finish? Okay, I will finish. When the master says, none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Jesus, of course, refers to the Jewish as a nation, the Jewish nation who refused Jesus Christ and his ministry and his message of the kingdom of God and the way that God loves the people and the way that he will fulfill and achieve his promises in the Old Testament, the way he would prepare the banquet of Isaiah 25 or Isaiah 55, all the other prophecies of the Old Testament. They refused this because they created their own ways to have the kingdom of God or to enter the kingdom of God. They didn't like this. They didn't believe. They didn't accept Jesus Christ. None will, because when the servants came and told the, or reported the master that it is done and there are still more seats, go more and invite others. When the mission went out of the Jewish nation to the Gentiles, this is what Jesus meant by the go everywhere, and those will not. Those as a nation, those as a people, there is no more people of God as it was in the Old Testament. But because God is creating a new people of him which is the church, the people, the elected to be his own. Of course, the door of the salvation is open for all the people, Jewish, whatever the language, whatever the nationality, whatever the race, but as a nation, as a people, as a chosen people of God, this finished with the New Testament, with Jesus Christ. We are now Israel. We are, the church is new Israel, and we had the opportunity to be with Jesus in his supper. When we read in Revelation 19, a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God. You remember, blessed everyone who will have bread in the kingdom of God, the guest said in the parable. Now, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, at the sound of many waters, and at the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God. God graciously invites all to come to him, but many are self-satisfied and preoccupied with their own lives and they miss out on the invitation. But only those who are aware of their inadequacy will accept the invitation to be part of this great banquet. Two things. Are you sure that you accepted the invitation of the king and now you are sitting to his table, to his banquet? Are you member of his church, of his people, or not yet? Rejoice and remember every day, every single moment, that this happened not because you are worthy or you deserve it, or you did great works to get it, but remember that it is God's grace. It is only by his grace that we are here. The second thing, if anyone here is not sure yet that he accepted or is still opposing and refusing and has a lot of excuses or delaying this, no, redeem the time, buy the opportunity, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, now, and accept the invitations to become his son, to be saved and redeemed by his blood. The church should go everywhere to all kinds of people with these good news and compel them. We have the truth, we have the gospel, we have the power. So we should go without worries or without hesitation. We should get ready. The banquet is ready and already prepared, but we should be and keep ready and well prepared all the time to come and invite the whole peoples to come to the banquet of the kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your name for what you've done for us. You came in Jesus Christ. You prepared the banquet, the salvation feast. You invited us, and with your Holy Spirit, you renewed our minds to accept the invitation. Even accepting the invitation wasn't our work or our role, because we were enemies of you in our thoughts and our deeds. Thank you for what the Holy Spirit done in our minds and our hearts. And thanks for what the Holy Spirit is still doing inside us. Open the eyes of this banquet. Open the minds of this banquet. Equip us and send us to those who are still refusing, having a lot of excuses. Help us to convince them with your word and with your authority and the work of the Holy Spirit to invite, to accept the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.